Yep.
All right, let's get started. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rob Lefferts. I'm the General Manager for Office Extensibility. We're here to drill into some of the things that you heard about this morning in the keynote and cover it more broadly. My partner in crime, Jeremy Thague.
Yeah, Jeremy Thague. I'm a Technical Product Manager in Office 365 Marketing. So we've got a good show for you today, showing you some of the new announcements, kind of on top of what you saw in the keynote that Rob did alongside Satya today. So I'm really excited to share with you what we've kind of introduced since we last shared a big land kind of 6 months ago in at TechEd Europe.
Great. And I think there's one issue from this morning that we wanted to take a head on. I don't know if anybody saw this. As it was going on during the keynote, I myself didn't get to see it, so I wasn't quite sure what was going on. There's just a couple messages to communicate.
Just a little bit, and it was a little bit about drugs. I suspect that's something to do with the fact that Seattle has it legalized, maybe?
No, I think they wanted Advil.
But it was a little bit of a rookie mistake, and CJ did own up to it. He was backstage and acknowledged that he should have been turning the notifications off. He had one job, and he didn't turn it off. So I figured I'd get that in there.
But for the record, my email address is not robl@builddemo1.onmicrosoft.com. It's robl@microsoft.com, and if you want to reach out to me, I'd be glad to hear from you. So let's dive right in. Click. Okay. So Satya talked about this a bunch this morning, and just to recap, I think he was quite passionate and quite enthusiastic. This is actually a quote that we had from him from last fall. He truly believes in the future of Office as in a developer platform and in the opportunity that represents for many different kinds of developers, both developers working in ISVs or building cloud services, but also corporate developers trying to deliver great experiences to in-house employees. And there's a couple reasons that that's true. One is the users that Office can attract for solutions, and that's just a function of the install base and traction that Office has, as well as the massive growth that we see in Office 365. And I know that we've talked about it a bunch over the past months and year, but Office 365 has this reputation as the fastest growing business in Microsoft history. And it is quite an amazing thing to be a part of, to really catch that wave and actually be part of the catalyst of people moving to the cloud. And now, on top of that, to offer a developer platform and surface area that people can take advantage of in order to really drive home not just solutions, but solutions helping people be more productive. So we've got some brief statistics quantifying what that actually means, just to put a face on, well, what does it mean to be the fastest growing business in Microsoft history? Office itself has 1.2 billion users, and that's Office all up. That is sort of the full surface area. But what that actually means is when we release new things, like release Office for iOS and Android, it gets an immediate great amount of attention, and as we wire that up for add-ins and extensibility, it becomes a great target market for you to approach. People live in Office, they are productive in Office, and this actually means something about the way that they approach solutions inside of Office. They're serious, they're doing business, and they want to get work done, and that actually dramatically changes sort of their profile of a willingness to invest. There's just a ton of data. We talked about the API Explorer and the Graph APIs. We'll talk about that a bunch more right here. But just to get a size for it, inside of Exchange, there are over 4 trillion emails in Office 365. The 850 million meetings actually means 28.3 million meetings created every day. And this just represents a huge amount of data and capability that you can take advantage of.
And with that, we wanted to kind of address the fact that, you know, we have come a long way. When we first released the Outlook with Word, PowerPoint, Excel, you know, a lot of you in the room have probably built VSTO add-ins, or you've written macros, or you've written some VBA scripts in the past. And one thing we wanted to address was that those things will continue to work in the Office clients that we ship on the Windows desktop. As you would have seen in the keynote where we demonstrated on various other different devices, our way forward is going to be really to push more with the app model, which we're going to demonstrate today with the add-ins for both Office and for SharePoint, and with the web apps inside that app launcher. And that's really key for us, is that we will continue to support both that in the Office client, but also where you've built things with EWS maybe inside Exchange or full trust code on SharePoint or Sandbox solutions. So those things will continue to work in the on-premises versions of SharePoint, and Sandbox will continue to work in the SharePoint Online service. But we're really encouraging you guys to look forward to the new add-in model that we've pushed forward with, and that's really where our engineering effort is. But it will continue to support that where your ISVs or your internal customization has been built on what we've kind of released over the last 10, 20 years. And that's really where we're kind of moving forward here in the add-in space, both in Office, SharePoint, and with the web app side as well.
So
I'm going to fix the clicker.
Great. So this morning, Satya talked about users and data and intelligence. And we actually sort of wanted to boil that down even more simply to here's how we talk about the opportunity in Office and the thing that we want you to go do, the action. So the first, we've talked a bunch about all the users of Office. This creates a great place to sort of make your applications discover, connect users to your service. But in addition, it really does provide this cross-platform experience and surface area that you can connect to. And as we talk about here, that's not just about integrating into Office. That's also about building your own apps on top. So when we say users, the call to action is quite clear. Build add-ins that plug into Office. And you can do that today. A bunch of the things that we talked about in the keynote and that we'll show here is about the ongoing development. This is an investment area where we are going to keep investing, building more, and providing more capabilities for you over time. The second thing is about all that data inside the unified API endpoint, inside the graph, and making that available. So the call to action is actually, again, quite clear. It's connect to Office 365 APIs, and you will be able to build solutions running on mobile devices, running on websites, that just make it really easy and great to connect to that productivity data. One of the things that doesn't show up on this slide that we think about as critical to how we want to approach this problem is really making sure that we come to the developers where they are, and we make it super easy for you to do those two things, add-ins and calling the APIs. And that's why we've really taken an approach of making sure that everything we do is built on open standards, using de facto standards where appropriate. The auth protocols are OAuth, responses are always in JSON, and even going a step further and saying, okay, if people are going to call these APIs and build mobile apps, then they'll need SDKs running on iOS and Android. And so we've built those, just little wrappers, to make it easy to call the protocol APIs. And then we went ahead and open sourced them as well, just to make it that much easier for people to engage with us. The same sort of story is going to apply to people trying to build more service or server-side connections, talking to those APIs. And so we're investing just as much in making sure we provide the rich SDKs there as well. And then the last thing that we talked about this morning, and we'll repeat here, is about really going beyond this. These are the fundamentals, and over time, we'll bring more intelligence, we'll bring the smarts of the Office Graph, and we'll bring you the magic that can superpower your solutions. All right, let's dive right in and take a look at some Office add-ins.
So we'll just stop there a little bit, because there's a few people in the audience kind of like sniggering a little bit around this whole add-ins thing. We've talked about the app model a little bit in the past, and we've kind of had SharePoint apps for SharePoint, and sometimes they're called SharePoint apps. Sometimes they were called Office apps, and then there were apps for Office in Outlook and apps for Office in Excel. And then we kind of hit the stumbling block where we had Word apps on an iPad with apps in them, apps in apps, or Access apps. So the marketing department decided to stop that train, and from now on we'll actually be calling those add-ins. Very much rolls off the tongue, Outlook add-ins, Word add-ins, Excel add-ins, PowerPoint add-ins, SharePoint add-ins. And so that's the only bit we're going to address now, and we'll just move on forwards as add-ins. Cortana is loaded at the front of the screen. If I say apps one more time, I'm going to get buzzed on stage, and so will Robble. So we'll see how far we get before we say the word apps as this point forward.
Excellent. It does turn out that it flows pretty naturally off the tongue, and I think everybody understands what we mean. One of the things I do want to talk about is that we've had add-ins out in the market, as I mentioned. We started with 2013, and so people can build these things today and really start going, and they are seeing traction. One of the beautiful things about working in the cloud and working with always up-to-date clients is that we really get good, rich information about how much users and usage we're actually getting and how much traction we see. And so these are just sharing some of the internal statistics that we've got about end users jumping on top of modern add-ins and taking advantage of it. And what we see is The growth curve is exactly the right shape. It's exactly the right kind of month-on-month exponential growth that you want to see. We've exceeded 3 million active users in a month. The growth is 114%, and people are using and launching these things on a regular basis. And so that's just for us data and signals that, great, we're onto something, we've got the right kind of adoption happening, and now we're just looking for ways to make them even more discoverable, and to help you as developers plug even more interesting and valuable add-ons, which is what will really drive people to want to use these things.
Yeah, and as a good example of that, we worked with an is4do.com, and we first worked with them on their web application, which we'll show later on in the session. But one of the highlights here was that they've done a significant amount of work to integrate with our Azure Active Directory services so that they can be loaded up in that experience. And we've actually built a prototype with the help of Richard DeZariga, who is my co-host on the podcast. So thank you for doing this, Richard, where we wanted to kind of demonstrate some new features that we're releasing inside of the Outlook add-ins and other Office add-ins that we move forward. Since they actually released this service with that Office 365 sign-up support, they've actually had around over 25% of their new customers are actually coming, signing in from those Office 365 experiences. So it proves that the ecosystem's out there, and there is interest from our customer base to do this. Now, the thing that I wanted to show you here, which hasn't been shown before, is this notion of an add-in command. We had a lot of feedback for our user voice site, which is available at dev.office.com on the homepage. And the big feedback we had was, well, in the old world of building for Office with VBA and with VSTO, you could actually get these task panes directly on the Outlook homepage of your experience for the user, and you could also have integration in that ribbon. And what you'll notice here is, as I go through and select emails, in the ribbon here at the top, when I click on that, that's going to actually launch my task pane directly on the home page of Outlook and allows me to load an HTML page directly into that task pane that has context using that Office JS JavaScript API of that email that I've selected. So you'll see here on the screen that in that task pane now, Do has gone away and created a meeting in its service and storing that data in its service based on the context of that email. And then the nice thing is, and this is the key with all of these add-ins, is I don't have to leave my experience inside Outlook wherever I'm running this on whatever platform. I can continue to use Outlook, but now I can actually use Do at the same time in parallel. So I can come in here. That was a little bit of a clap.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Is that when I'm in here, I can start adding agendas, and we can talk about the speakers that are on stage, and we can plug that in there. And that allows me to kind of have that context and jump through. Now, one of the things that was interesting here is that do.com had some integration with Google, where they did exactly the same thing, and they had an export to Evernote. And what Richard did very quickly was actually integrate with our new OneNote APIs, which work now with Office 365 authentication. And essentially what that means is I can have all that information stored in do.com, but maybe I want to pull that over to a OneNote because I'm going to scribble some notes in my OneNote on my Surface or whatever kind of tablet device I have. And when I click down here in my OneNote button here, I can go through using the Office 365 APIs with the OneNote and actually select where I want to store that inside of OneNote. In the background, that's calling the Office 365 API, creating that page within my OneNote that I'm logged into. And you'll notice in that corner, there's an image there of me at the top there that's coming from the new Exchange profile photo API endpoint that we've shipped today as well. Now, if I log over to here on that OneNote page, if I refresh this page, I'm just going to jump to one section and come back again. In my meeting notes, you'll see now that that's actually gone and created that information there directly in my OneNote. So it streamed that information into my OneNote page. The RESTful calls are really simple to use. And what this means now is that I can kind of use the power of OneNote here to do annotations or collaborate on those things in a way that maybe is just an extension of what I was doing in do.com. And so this was a prototype we've put together for do.com to show the power of those Outlook add-ins in a way that maybe they hadn't have considered in the past.
If there's just a couple things I want to underscore there. One is that I'm really excited about this example for combining the two things together, about building add-ins and then calling the service APIs. And the other is to talk a little bit more about this app notion of app commands. We're very excited about going forward. We showed you a lot of task pane add-ins. Ribbon add-ins like this one are super exciting. Later on, we'll show you some more in-content add-ins, but we think that there's a lot of potential for over time, as we build and invest more in the model, for lighting up new kinds of experiences and types of add-ins.
So the other demo we wanted to show here, and I'm just going to switch for Rob Oda, the joy of having so many devices on stage.
All right. So this is getting back into the SAP demo, and I want to talk a little bit more about how it's put together and a little bit more about some of the capabilities that you can light up by taking advantage of the richer object model that we provide right here in Excel. And it's just tons of fun to be able to do this demo directly from within Excel for the iPad. So again, this is an add-in that's talking to an SAP on-prem installation. It's using SAP Gateway for Microsoft, which really exposes SAP data using OAuth and in OData, which makes it super easy for us to consume inside of the Microsoft environment. And the simple thing that I can do first, which I showed you this morning, let's fail to get the data. Well, I'm glad it worked this morning.
I need to stand over you like Satya was.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Do you want to come back to that demo?
Yeah, let's come back to that one. Do you want to poke around? I'll go over
here. You can go to that one.
All right. Okay, let's drill back into the Salesforce demo and then show a couple additional things that live there. So what I talked about this morning, and the first thing to call out is now I'm demoing on a Mac. And so this is actually inside of Outlook for the Mac. And we've enabled the same add-in model running there. And so hopefully it's super clear by now how we think about add-ins and how we think about making sure that your solutions really work and run everywhere that Office runs. So let's go ahead and open up the Salesforce tab. Again, it's pulling the 2NCC information off of the mail thread and using that to look up the companies inside of Salesforce and would find me opportunities. One of the things that I can do that we didn't get to do is really I just wanted to drive home this notion of taking action in context, because this is the whole value prop to you as developers and solution builders, is that you can make sure your users are productive and live and breathe inside the experiences that they love. So here I can go ahead and actually just create this contact for this person that didn't previously exist inside of Salesforce. And we'll do the same. How's it going?
We're connected.
Okay. Give it another shot.
Question?
Yes.
Yeah,
actually, they could have done that. And that would be an interesting enhancement to do, since you are able to refer to the 2NCC information. Ah, excellent. Look at this. Let's push the button. Yay. Super exciting.
Someone is.
Okay. The main thing that I want to show you is that you do have more power in this object model than just, hey, I want to dump some information out of the line of business system. The first thing I might go do is start to make some changes. And this really is the scenario of the exec on the go, walking down the hall, working with this information. They go ahead and update the age. And then when they're done with it, they can push the compare and save button. So now they've been working inside of their spreadsheet, and the question is, what have I done? And I do have a push back to SAP to save, but before I do that, I'd like to check and see what I did. And so what we show here is APIs for nicely formatting the row that I changed. I was able to go and scan through the entire table selection, find the individual cells that had actually been updated, and on the right-hand side in the task pane, go and notify the users about what was the actual modification. And we think that kind of rich, compelling experience, really lit up by the service on the back end, really turns Excel into this sort of extension of the end-to-end solution that the developer is providing.
And in addition to that, one of the questions we've had quite frequently is, whatever happened to Napa? And so what we're actually going to show here is that we've actually evolved Napa. For anyone who realized, it was a kind of a Visual Studio browser edition that allowed you to build SharePoint add-ins and Office add-ins without necessarily needing Visual Studio locally on your machine. Because for those of you aware, really, an add-in inside Office is an XML manifest file that points to a website that is HTML and JavaScript. So in this scenario here, we've actually logged into Napa cloudapp.com with my Microsoft account. That might be my outlook.com or my msn.com for those of you who are a bit more old school here. And I can log into there and start building apps. Now, I've got an app here that I've already built. It's very simple. It is available at dev.office.com/code-samples. It's the Microsoft Buildings app. And simply all I'm doing here is I'm calling a load buildings function. And if I scroll down the bottom, I have a JSON service that I have hosted in Azure. And it's going to basically call that JSON service and render a bunch of buildings in a task pane in my Outlook add-in. And then when I select that building from that task pane, it's going to inject building out the HTML directly into the body of my email. And it's as simple as this in JavaScript. I'm grabbing the item of my email that I'm in context of when I'm in my compose mode within Outlook. And then I'm just simply doing a item.body.setSelected async there to actually store the HTML that I've built out using the data that's come back from that JSON service. Now, the nice thing about this Napper experience now is that it's not tied to me having to have Napper running inside SharePoint. It's totally detached. You don't need to have that experience. And when I click play here, that's going to go and encapsulate that website and run that for me in the cloud. It's going to upload the manifest file into my Exchange instance within Office 365. And what Andrew Salamontoff will show in his session later in the week is how you can actually deploy this to Outlook.com as well as an add-in, not just to Exchange Online within the Office 365 service. Now, if I launch that app, it's going to load in my experience here with inside of Office 365. And I'll demonstrate this from the calendar. Because what this highlights is that when I have this add-in, I'm in debug mode here. If I go and create that new event within my calendar, and I load this application, I load this application here with my apps and click on it, that's going to go through, call that RESTful service that's running in Azure, and list all my buildings on the right-hand side. And then I'll be able to select the building. So obviously all the cool kids live in building one.
Oh, yeah.
Where I live.
Oh, wait, isn't that your building?
Yes, pretty much, yeah. That's where all the work happens. And if I click insert here, what you'll notice is that as well as injecting into the body of my email here, the title of the building and the Bing map image that we had, and a hyperlink to the top here with the get directions, at the top here, I've actually targeted updating the location of my meeting event. Now, that's simply done in the code here, if I go back, to I'm just checking if the item type is an appointment, I'm actually going to go and set the location of that meeting invite directly in JavaScript to the building name coming from that JSON response. So it's really, really clean code. As a web developer, this is really easy to get hold of, and you don't even need Visual Studio installed locally on your machine. I'm demoing this from a Mac here running in Firefox, and I have this all debugging here and building my first app inside Outlook. So there's been some huge improvements there on that side of the house too. And one thing I also wanted to point out, which we actually did preview when we were at TechEd Europe in October, was if I go back to my mail here, and we scroll down to a mail, I've been doing some house shopping recently, and I've sent myself an email to an address. And what you'll notice is that we have this app command bar inside of Outlook where I can launch my apps, and obviously we showed that with the Salesforce app. But Exchange has recognized that this is an address, and I have a Bing Maps app that is looking if there's an address in my email. I have this concept of a contextual link here that allows me to launch that add-in as a pop-up within that email. And this is something that we experimented with inside this, and you'll see more and more of these contextual highlights as we move forward across our products here.
Yeah, and actually this gets back to this notion of making sure that we lead the users to your service and to your solution. And so when we first shipped add-ins for Outlook, well, A, we called them apps for Outlook, but we shipped them in the gray toolbar, and a lot of people didn't notice they were there. Now you can build add-ins that show up in this highlighted way, and we were able to see the immediate increase in adoption and usage. Just one thing to mention on that, your own contextual add-ins can really be keyed off of content in the mail thread. They can have a full regular expression to decide whether or not they hit highlight and then show up in there. Now, one of the things that we really want to make sure you walk away from build with is a very clear picture about what I can go do today, what's coming in preview, and what are the things that will be coming down the road. And hopefully it's clear from the way we're having this conversation that we want to be really open about where we're headed and what the future looks like. So this is our attempt to come super clean, make it super clear about the add-in model, where it currently stands, and where we're making our investments, and what's coming next. So today you can go build these add-ins. They will work across the board in Win32. They will largely work in the online web apps. And as we talked about in the demo, we are now releasing an update for Excel for iPad that will enable them to run in that environment as well. The things the team is actively working on are making sure that we're consistent across the whole family of iOS devices, and so we'll be pushing hard on that in upcoming months and make sure that those updates get into the Apple Store, and in that way, your solution show up across all the iOS devices that your users have. And then the very next thing after that, which we're very excited about, is really going after the Mac, and we'll be able to share some of the framework and infrastructure there. We firmly believe in the vision that these solutions need to run everywhere that Office runs, and that Office is a cross-platform productivity experience. And so later this year, we will start work on making sure we get Android and UWA fully enabled, and we will deliver those out in incremental updates as quickly as we can provide them, and that's sort of the transparent view onto how we're thinking about the development roadmap.
Yeah, and the other thing to kind of talk about is the SharePoint add-in space as well. So that's really focusing on where we are with the Office add-ins. With the SharePoint add-ins aspect, we've had a lot of momentum there as well. So maybe you want to share some of those figures as well, Rob.
Yeah, and actually this is an important context for us. Office add-ins, actually, they do show up inside of Office 2013, and so you can enable them for users that don't actually have Office 365. SharePoint add-ins are connected to Office 365 or connected to an on-prem SharePoint installation, but we've actually seen the same general shape of curve where we have month-on-month this exponential growth curve, and what we see is we're closing in on a billion. That would be exciting. That was one of those things that gets tweeted. A million active users for add-ins inside SharePoint. We see 14 million launches happening in the month of March. And again, all of those are driving API calls. And so these are the kind of metrics that we're tracking to make sure that the model is doing what we want and delivering the capabilities for you as developers to connect to users.
And one of the cool examples we have here from a SharePoint perspective is the Matter Center, which you may have heard about in the past. Yeah. This is actually a Microsoft LCA, our legal team, that have built something for a particular scenario that was bugging those guys. So if I jump over here to my apps here, and I launch the Matter Center app, this is actually using this notion of legal teams that have matters where they have to store documents and emails and records around a particular legal topic. And they consistently have these things flying around in emails and sharing documents in different ways. And so what they did was they built this Matter Center dashboard that allowed them to track exactly what was going on with all their matters. So they hosted this all inside Azure. They're leveraging SharePoint as a backend to store individual matters as individual site collections. So they're all encapsulated, they're security trimmed in a way that has that container feedback. And the users can go through and start seeing stats around things like what the status of those matters are within the whole organization, how much document churn is going on within each of those individual matters. And they've even gone as far as using things like the Excel services and Power BI features to actually map the geolocations of those where those matters are in relevance to where they are across the whole of Microsoft Legal. And so as an example here of kind of crossing the boundaries of not just thinking about myself as a SharePoint developer, they also actually created an Outlook add-in. So when I come into my emails here, I have an email where I have an attachment. When I launch that add-in, what it's going to do is it's going to use the Office.js API to notice that there are actually attachments associated with this email, and then they're able to go in here and upload the attachments and decide what matter it's relevant to, so I can pick my matter. Now, take into account this is authenticating back into SharePoint, but I'm actually inside of an Outlook add-in directly inside my UI. And so you can see here that with the sign-on, it's probably timed out here, but that would force me to sign into this particular environment, and then I'd be able to kind of upload that and pick my matter. So what we're trying to encourage here is that don't think of these things in silos. This demo actually demonstrates not only an Outlook add-in and a SharePoint add-in, but also that notion of a web application that's hosted inside of the app launcher and that My Apps page. And this is something that we're actually hosting right now internally, and it's something we're looking to share with everyone here as well.
Yeah, and let me take a moment to just be clear about what we're really after, because I would hate for anyone to walk away thinking, oh, I heard that Microsoft's going into the legal vertical, and that's not the goal. What we're actually trying to show is that we're excited about the model and we're excited about the possibilities, and so we're holding this up as an internal tool that we built that could map to a bunch of scenarios that you might have internally, but even more importantly, as a model for the best practices around the kinds of things that you can do with the framework we've delivered. And we're working with our best partners inside of this space to make sure that we light up the same things for them and that this really helps crystallize and galvanize where we're going for the industry. All right, so Let's flip over and talk about a new kind of application. We spent a bunch of time talking about add-ins and how those can connect into SharePoint and SharePoint capabilities. But let's take a step back and talk about the new kid on the block, which is just about O365 web apps. We first started talking about these last fall. And what it is it's just a way to easily connect an existing web application that you've got into Office 365. And there's a couple reasons that you'd want to do that: to make it easy for your users to find, to make it easy for your users to sign in, and then to use that as a platform that you would want to drive even more Office 365 integration. So all you really have to do is register your app in AAD, and then it shows up in this thing that do we have a real name, or we just keep calling it the Waffle?
It's the App Launcher.
It's the App Launcher. Thank you.
We have this thing with engineering where they have all the internal names they live with, and they can never let go of them.
That's right.
And we have to force them over to the public outbound words for them.
So the easiest way to show up in the App Launcher, as it says there on the slide, is to register with Active Directory. That gets you instantaneously single sign-on, and that makes it super easy for you to turn right around and call that unified API endpoint, to call Office 365 APIs to get access to file, mail, calendar, contact information. And in addition, we make it super easy to put those things into the store. We continue to invest in not just how do we make the experience great for your users, but how can we help your users discover the application. There's a bunch of ways that we light this up. One of which is the store. In addition, we of course have a corporate catalog where organizations can distribute their own apps that they care about. A few of the things that we've made super easy is around, first, if I want to acquire one of those new web apps, we've made it very easy from within Office 365 UI to go ahead, connect to the store, find a web app, add it directly into my app launcher. The second thing is we've enabled inside of the store a functionality for previewing your application. So if you'd like to have that kind of targeted, limited audience beta where you're producing initial releases and you want to make sure that it works the way you want it to work before you go broad and public, we've lit that up. And then the last thing is that we're, you'll see this across the board, it's here with the store as well, we're really building samples about how we imagine people can do this, in this case, a best practices app that demonstrates end-to-end what great store integration looks like.
Yeah, and just to show that example of that store acquisition, obviously when you're in an Office app in the ribbon in the insert group, you'll see the apps and the app store there, so you can go and discover those apps for add-ins with inside Outlook, Excel, Word, and PowerPoint, and in the future, other things like Rob mentioned around the Sway. Inside SharePoint, obviously, when you're in the site contents page, when you do add an add-in, you'll actually be able to see the store link there on that quick launch. Now, inside of here, you'll see now we have this store link inside the My Apps page. So when I'm on the app launcher here and I go to the My Apps setting, I have this notion to be able to pin apps. So if I had do.com here, for instance, I can pin and unpin that from my app launcher so that no matter where I am inside the web experience of Office 365, I can launch those particular apps. But now the visibility is a lot higher to get over to that store and see what apps are available. Now, the store page here that we show not only shows the apps that we can add, the web apps that we can add directly into the My Apps page, but it also highlights the SharePoint add-ins and the Office add-ins that are available too. So we really believe that this will expose to our customers your work that you've been doing to release these things in the store as well. And so, for instance, if I went in here to, say, the DocuSign app, you'll see that the same experience that we had for SharePoint add-ins and Office add-ins is now available for those web applications. So if you have a SaaS service already out there, simply add it and authenticate with the Office 365 authentication, and you'll be able to submit this to the store through the seller dashboard and become available inside this store as well. So it's a great way to get exposure into our customer base with a web application that can do single sign-on directly from launching on that My Apps page or the app launcher. And we see that's a really compelling story for a lot of organizations out there. So with that, I'm going to jump back to the slides. And we're going to talk a little bit about components. So we've talked about kind of the Office add-ins and the SharePoint add-ins and this notion of web apps that live within the service. One of the cool things that we've started to experience now is this notion of leveraging the Skype for Business aspects of the Office 365 service as well. And to do this, we're actually going to jump back to that do.com scenario, which is on. And what you'll see here is that you may have noticed, if you were very astute, that when I launched do.com here, In the bottom where that OneNote icon was, we also had a Skype icon. So this scenario is Richard at the back of the room has sent me a brand new email. And you'll notice now that I'm actually seeing it's pulling the title. This meeting wasn't associated with a conversation ID that we had existing inside of Exchange. And I can go through in the meeting options to say, I want to use Skype as part of this. I'm going to include the email of the body and include the attachments in that mail as part of that do.com storage that's in that service. So if I jumped over to the app launcher and launched do.com from that app launcher experience, I would see all this information. But what I can actually do, and I hope Rich is ready for this, is if I click here on the Skype, inside this prototype, we've now launched the do.com experience in a web browser, and we've actually got the Skype embed directly inside that do interface. Now, what's really neat here is that on the right-hand side, I have the do.com experience as well. So I can be in a Skype call here without kind of alt-tabbing and start to add different things into this meeting. So again, if I just use that experience here of adding my speaker names and going through and having some follow-ups that I need to make sure I get my, make sure I get a cool hoodie, is that I'll be able to see there, directly there, that you know we have both the Skype user interface where I can have that communications going forward, as well as on the right-hand side being inside my experience of my SaaS application side by side. Now, it looks like maybe our Wi-Fi is not going to play nicely.
This is always the high-risk, high-tension part of, are we getting through on Wi-Fi?
How are you going, Rich?
Connecting. Actually, a couple things I want to interject here. What we're actually using, just to make sure everyone gets it, Satya mentioned it briefly this morning, Skype has just announced in preview their Skype web SDK, and that enables a couple things. The first is that you get a bunch of RESTful APIs and JavaScript OM on top of it to do basic things like presence, notifications, chat, and you can just use that directly within the applications that you build. The second part is actually shown here as a plugin, which is allowing you to embed the Skype experience inside of that solution that you build. We're very excited about this as a model for how people think about delivering rich experiences. It's sort of the inverse of the add-ins. But we really want to make sure that where Office has this high-value experience, like we have with Skype, that you can use that to build the targeted experience that you want to make sure your users can be end-to-end productive without having to leave the context of your solution.
And what you don't realize here is that Skype is actually showing Richard, and he's in a very dark room, and that video just hasn't picked up on the camera. So that just shows you where we're going with the embed aspect. We know that it doesn't always have to be about being inside our user experience. It can be about you owning that user experience and embedding our stuff in there. And that is just one example of where we're going with that preview technology with the Skype for Business. So I think now it's time to get on to your most exciting topic, which is the Office 365 APIs.
Yeah, so this really is, as we think about the cloud building more and more momentum, lighting up new workloads and having a constant drumbeat of new capabilities that we expose to developers. And we think about this surface area driving new APIs, and it's great for us because it's very easy for us to understand when are we being successful, and that's when more and more APIs are being called, because that means developers are building solutions, users are enjoying those solutions and getting value out of them, and we're all having the impact that we want to have. And so we are really starting to see that flywheel go, 14.4 million daily API calls from Office and SharePoint add-in, but what we're actually seeing is the total up in the billions, which means we are really starting to drive this getting a lot done using APIs running against Office. And so I wanted to flip over here. I wanted to flip to this slide.
Jump in the gun.
I'm so excited.
So what we wanted to actually share was that we're actually releasing some new APIs in preview. So we've talked a lot about mail, calendar, contacts, and files, and we talked about the API in the past. But obviously, we know there's lots of other products and services available in Office 365. So today we're actually going to demo some other demo products here where we can now integrate directly into the video portal APIs, the Groups API, the Office Graph, which we demoed before in preview, and also the OneNote API, which we did show in the do.com demo earlier on. And in the future, we'll actually have the Task API as well, which we'll talk a little bit more about in the Ignite timeframes. And we have added some additional scenarios based on feedback that we got from User Voice and from the ISVs we work very closely with to those existing APIs that we shipped and released in the October timeframes at TechEd Europe. And so what we're going to show now is their unified endpoint that we demonstrated in the keynote, and Rob's going to go through a few more scenarios here to highlight with the API Explorer, which you can actually use now in your own tenants.
Yeah, and actually, there's another presentation being given tomorrow, I think at 10:30, where they'll drill more into the unified endpoint, and they'll actually be using, this is the great thing about development in cloud, they'll be using the pre-production environment version of the API Explorer, and so you get to see all the enhancements we did there, where they have nice Collapso, Expando on the JSON responses, and that's pretty cool. But let's take a look at what we've got here. I want to talk a little bit more about the structure of the URL that I'm actually making a request with. It's pretty straightforward. Graph.microsoft.com, that is the name of the unified API endpoint. There's a version number in there, and as you can see, we're in preview, so it just says beta, but that's where we will use V1, V2, et cetera. And from there, I just go into my tenant or my individual token, such as /me, and now I can start to find entities and drive to edges off of those entities and really navigate the graph. So the first thing is actually that I can just run a query called users, and this is actually doing what you would expect, which is give me back all the users in my Active Directory. Of course, it's helping us to page through them such we don't get overwhelmed and the response is reasonable. But the thing that I did this morning and that exactly corresponds to one of the most common scenarios is help me filter this down. Help me write a query. And so we support a notion of attributes that you can query on. In this case, filter equals department, and then just filter on where the department is equal to operations. And so we'll run that, get back a set of results, and then let's just scan down and start to feel pretty confident that, in fact, we're getting back the result set that we would want to see there. And to highlight the graphiness, let's drill in from that collection to an individual user. Every object in the graph actually gets a unique and persistent ID. And so this is a huge advantage in terms of thinking about how can I make sure I can get a placeholder so it can always get back to that object at a later time, even if it moves around. And so I can take advantage of that to find this individual user. And then from there, as we talked about this morning, super easy to just drill instantaneously into the files. Did I hit return? OK. Now, again, we've got this persistent OData ID, which I can navigate to get to the file. And let's just take a look at some of the properties that you find off of there. One of the most interesting things is the last modified by. And so, again, driving home this notion of graph navigation, going from node to edge, I can go from the file to find the last modified by, get the username, from that username, get all of their files, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really easy to drive through this experience, seamlessly moving back and forth across different workloads on the back end without having to worry about how Microsoft's running its cloud and how it's organized its workloads.
And another ISV we've actually worked with is Smartsheets. And we started with them with the kind of the notion of integrating with their web app so that they could have that single sign-in experience directly from the app launcher and the My Apps page. But one other product they've got is called the Work Map. Now, the Work Map takes all the kind of entities that they look after within their own SaaS service, which is to do with storing all the rows within their own sheets. And it draws it on this beautiful map, connecting all of those sheets that are related, as well as all the people that are involved in them. But they've taken this a step further. You can actually jump into these individual case studies, which are sheets within the Smartsheets ecosystem world. And when I click on these sheets here and say, get the data from Office 365, what that's actually going to do is it's going to map that data directly from inside their world against the relations of what's inside the Office 365 world. So it'll actually demonstrate here that we can grab the mails that are related to that particular sheet, the files, and the contacts. So if I go and select maybe the ROI summary sheet from within inside this work map here, you'll see that Jamie O'Donnell down the bottom here has been selected in their work map. Now, the nice part here is that they've used that unified API endpoint to actually call back through to filter from Office 365 from this user's inbox what emails have come from Jamie O'Donnell related to that ROI sheet that we have. So you can see here all the emails are related to that particular project that I've selected. And then if I scroll over to another pane here, you'll actually see it'll do the same thing. It'll go and grab all of the related files from OneDrive for Business related to that particular sheet that's been captured inside the Smartsheet ecosystem. And again, in a really nice user interface. So under the covers, this is just using that one endpoint to pull that information through. And I can go through further here and scroll over to the right-hand side here and see that it's pulling through those calendar events that are related to it too. So this gives me this view not only of what Smartsheet data is stored within their service, but also overlaid with all that intelligent data that we store within Office 365, allowing these business users to be a lot more productive day-to-day and joining that into one single view. So they've authenticated in once here to Smartsheet, but at the same time, Smartsheet under the covers can call through to our unified API and pull that information up and use it within their user interface. So we're not forcing the user to jump between contexts of being inside Smartsheet and then being inside of that experience. So that's a really cool demo that we'll be going deeper in some of the other sessions during the week, which we'll highlight at the end of this session.
One thing I'd like to call out about that, and I know the Smartsheet guys are excited about this pitch, you can see this user experience that pulls it all together, and the user is living in Smartsheet and navigating across Office 365. But because Office 365 hits this very high bar around compliance and data security, it's a big deal for Smartsheet to know that they don't have to persist all that data, because at that point they have to worry about a bunch of issues that Office 365 takes care of. So the organizational hierarchy, the documents, the mails, they all live in Office 365.
And another example here is something that we announced in October, which was this notion of a property manager or property inspector. We shipped this app as a web application, we open sourced the code on GitHub, and we also actually built an iOS native application using the SDKs to communicate to those Office 365 API endpoints. Later in the year, we actually shipped a Cordova mobile application and a Xamarin application and an Android native application. So no matter what way you wanted to write a mobile app, you could see how we built these things, and we'd open source the whole thing. Now, this connects to all those different endpoints, whether it's mail, calendar, contacts, and also files. But one thing that we're announcing today is that if I go down to need repair here and take a look at one of these properties, is that when I jump into an individual property, we've also created this notion now that every single property has a unified group associated with it. And a unified group gets a bunch of entities around it, or ingredients, as you'll hear us talk about it at Ignite, where it's all about files, it's all about a shared calendar for that group, it's about the members of the group, and also the files, and also things like videos. So you can see here on the right-hand side that I have a bunch of members of this property, and that's being driven by this notion of a unified group. And if I click on See More here and launch that, when you go over into that Aura experience inside Outlook, and we take a look at these groups, you'll be able to see here, these are the members of that group. And if I go over to Files, or Conversations, or Calendar, in the example when we were in October, we were storing in the user's calendar, whereas now when we do repairs or inspections, we're storing the inspections inside the group's calendar, so everyone has visibility, and you have the ability as an individual to actually subscribe to this calendar, which means that any events that are created in this group calendar will appear inside your own individual calendar as well. Now, we've gone further than that, because obviously we have all of the OneNotes as well. So when we want to maybe take photos of inspections, and we want to annotate over maybe the broken pipe or tap that's been going on, you can do that within that OneNote experience on your Surface. But also we have the video footage. So this property, for instance, has a leaky tap. So on the Video Portal app that you can get now on the iPhone and the Android, the repair guy has actually gone in and recorded that property had a leaky tap. Uploaded it into the video portal, leveraging Azure Media Streaming Services, and that's all been encapsulated, this notion of a unified group within the Office 365 experience. But the beauty is that you can either use it within the out-of-the-box Office 365 group experience, where we have this notion of conversations around the properties and files around the properties and notes around the properties, or we can have the experience directly inside the Contoso Property Manager app, which is being hosted in Azure. This one, for instance, was written with ASP.MVC, leveraging all those the libraries and the unified API to bring all this up into your own user interface. So again, it's all about pulling together these all the experiences we have in Office 365 into one end solution. And if you go to dev.office.com, and in the resources section at the top, and you go to code samples here, you'll actually be able to go and directly grab this from GitHub. So if I just wait for this to load up. And if I just search for the property inspector, if I can spell, and if I go view here, you'll see all the instructions on how you can get this running in your own developer tenant. And if I go see in GitHub, you'll be actually go and clone this all down here. And you'll notice if I zoom in here, you'll see that there's that native Android app there, there's the Cordova app, the Xamarin app, and the native iOS apps there as well as the ASP.MVC app. So this is our hero demo that we'll do a lot more talking about in Todd Ginsey's session later on in the week, where he'll dive a lot deeper into how he built those things with all those mobile apps and that standalone web application launch from the app launcher. Now, there was one last demo we wanted to show, so I'm going to just unlock the iPhone quickly.
You've got the thumbprint.
You won't be able to unlock my phone. And if I just switch over to number 6 for you.
So this is another quick look at another sample that we've written. And you can kind of see how our methodology goes at this point. We've written the code. We've produced an application. And then we're going to go put it up on GitHub. Actually, I think the repo is live this week.
It is, yep.
Great. So you can download this and see what we did and build exactly the same kind of thing, even take these ideas and enhance them. The notion here is that, boy, when I'm on the road, there's a few key conversations and a few key people I want to keep track of. But if I open up my mail inbox, I am deluged with stress and panic about 20,000 things going on that I didn't want to know about. So this app is called Email Peek. And what it does is just give me a filtered view of what's coming on so I can just do the right thing by the family and only pay attention to a specific set of conversations. And what you see actually is some nice iOS UI that we've built to enable swiping. But the key thing is that this is going against the Office 365 APIs to get the contents of my inbox and has a bunch of easy-to-use settings like, hey, let's take a look at mails that are coming from these particular senders or to drill in on particular conversations that I want to look at. It makes it easy for me to decide whether or not I wanted to toggle the red-on-red status inside of Outlook. I can decide to just show me the unread messages or just the urgent messages. And you get this kind of rich, easy-to-use experience. And it's fairly snappy running against the production API. So we hope you take a look and go in for more stuff.
Yeah, and the nice thing here is when you launch that email, I actually have the ability to do it follow. So I can say I want to follow this particular conversation, or maybe because Jeremy's really important, I'm going to follow Jeremy's email. So anything coming from Jeremy will always show up in my peak view, which you can see is the case there. And you can kind of customize that and tailor that as you will. And that's actually open source. That's an iOS native application. And you'll be able to grab that down there and play with that at your will. So lastly, as we wrap up for the session here, what we wanted to talk about was how you can get started. Now, you would have seen the Office 365 banners as you walked into the building today. But one thing we're actually announcing today is a developer program launch. What this will give you, if you go and sign up for this program, is you'll be kind of subscribed. You'll be in this kind of network of how we will communicate you moving forward into all the notifications on any new announcements that we do around new endpoints or new add-ins and new app commands that we'll release into that feature. We had a lot of great feedback from you guys that it was quite hard to keep up, and we wanted to provide a channel that you could subscribe to keep up with that information. We'll also give you a 1-year free Office 365 developer tenant, which previously you would have had to have paid for as part of that sign-up experience, as well as being able to go and do a lot of free training that's available on dev.office.com/training and additional hands-on labs that we'll provide purely for that dedicated program. We'll also provide tools, and we've got two announcements today of some tools that we'll have available to you as part of that sign-up experience. And we'll be doing monthly webinars where you'll get to hear from our team, Sonia and CJ and myself and Dave and Jim and engineers as well, talking about new features where you're, as part of that program, we'll continue that dialogue with you ongoing. And so you can go and sign up for that program now at dev.office.com/devprogram. There's more information if you want to hear about it on our booth downstairs on the ground floor level. So the first three tools we're actually going to give you as part of that program, the first one is the Telerik Kendo UI, which is a JavaScript framework which is available. We're going to give you a 1-year free pro license for that as part of you signing up for the program, which I think is a pretty good deal. And in addition to that, another thing that we hear from ISVs is that we want to be able to have the same kind of communication with our users. If you sign up for do.com, for instance, as a SaaS, after a few days, if you're not actually using the service will actually email you and remind you that there's some really cool features within this SaaS product. And you would have probably had that familiar experience with other SaaS providers that you've signed up for in the past, where maybe you forgot that you subscribed to them, and this thing kind of reminds you. And there's various different points in time that it reaches out. Drip.com provides that service as well. And we're going to provide a basic 1-year subscription for you as part of that experience of signing up for this dev program as well. So over time, we'll give additional licenses for different things as we go through. And we really encourage you to kind of jump on board to this dev program and take advantage of these three things we're going to give you as part of that experience. So with that, what we wanted to clear up as part of this was we have demoed a lot today. There are some really solid sessions for the rest of the week that will dive a lot deeper into some of these experiences. But Rob, did you want just to kind of explain what things we've released today
and
what things are still in preview?
Yeah, thank you for that. This is back to this notion of we want it to be really clear and really concrete so that you know what to go do today and which things to play around with so that you're ready for what's happening tomorrow and over the coming months. One of the things that I didn't talk about, but actually Yina will get into tomorrow, is this notion of core support. So it's a very common pattern for people writing single page apps to be able to need to get to these APIs in a different domain. And we are lighting that up across the O365 API. So now it's really easy to build those SPAs. We're extending the notion of app only permissions within our auth flow, the context highlighting to drive more users into your apps. And you can already do today add-ins inside of Word and Excel, and I think people have seen the demo for iPad enough times now, as well as Outlook. So really reaching out to that notion of cross-platform add-ins, the tenantless NAPA that Jeremy demoed, and we've updated all the SDKs to be current with the latest revs of the APIs. But there is a bunch of stuff coming, and we really think about this as constant rolling thunder. We're not going to hold back. We're going to get out and engage as often as possible about here's what's new, here's where we're going. So the unified API, it is a great tool for developers. We're very excited to bring that on board. Still in preview, please take a look. One of the things that's really important coming forward is this notion of webhooks, because it's great that you can write apps that call our services, but of course you want to be notified when something interesting is happening. The first place we'll wire that up is inside of the Exchange APIs. We'll be making that available consistently and broadly going out from there. I talked to this morning in the keynote about the desire to align consumer and commercial APIs. And if you saw the recent release of OneDrive APIs on the consumer side, you'll notice that they are really consistent with how the OneDrive stuff works in OneDrive for Business. And the goal is that we'll bring all of those together. And as we get the auth flows aligned into one place, it becomes very easy to write apps that work seamlessly across the two. Just to close out a few of the others, we have file handlers in SharePoint that we've demoed a couple times, and we'll be talking about more this week, making it easy to have a new kind of add-in that lets it, you know, if you have a new file type, you can make that editable and actionable from within SharePoint and within Outlook. Big news on consumer commercial convergence is actually making sure you can write add-ins that work for Outlook.com, and so they will show up inside of the consumer space as well. We talked about commands in the ribbon, more Visual Studio 2015 tooling, and again, on and on, enhancements to the Java SDK and JS plugins.
Yeah, so what we wanted to leave you with today as part of this session was really what you can go away from and learn from this session, which is essentially that, you know, go and sign up for the developer program. There's a lot of goodness there you get for free. I would encourage, as well as checking out our sessions that are available in these major rooms, is that we're doing a significant amount of express talks, which are kind of 10-minute nugget talks downstairs on our Office 365 floor from some leaders in the space that have been building for Office 365 for a while now. And that gives you a bit of an idea of what's going on. Those programs, if you go down to our booth, you better go and see the schedules there as well, which are actually available in these slides. If you would like one of these hoodies that have been modeled by myself and Rob on stage here, and you should really want one of these hoodies, what you will need to do is go and grab that card from downstairs in the booth, and Dana at the back of the room is like wiggling and handling those out. And if you go around all the stations on the booths and you follow the hands-on labs and you check out one of those express talks, we'll put a stamp in your leaflet, and you'll be able to get a hoodie as soon as you've got all those stickers. Now, in addition to that, we do have some really cool sessions this week. We wanted to just kind of home in on some of the ones that myself and Rob are the most excited about based on what we've demoed today. So I guess for you, the most favorite one is going to be the unified.
Yeah, the tomorrow 11:30, if you have a chance to go by that would really be the place to get a detailed understanding of a whole range of things you'll be able to do with the unified API endpoint.
Yeah, and we have Todd Baginski talking about that property inspector scenario where he'll go into the web applications there. In addition to that, Doreen Brown in the same session is going to be talking about the file handlers. And then Andrew Salamatov's going to be talking about those add-ins in Outlook. So he'll go a lot deeper into those Outlook add-ins, and both on the Outlook.com and also in Outlook in Exchange. Jim Epps will actually be doing a great talk on how we've evolved the store and how you can get involved in building apps for the store, both for Office add-ins, SharePoint add-ins, and those web applications. And also, Andrew Connell is doing a session on Friday talking about Angular applications, and how you can build those and leverage those inside those Office add-ins and SharePoint add-ins and those web applications. I can see a lot of our speakers in a room pointing at themselves going, why isn't my session on there? There are a lot of other sessions available here. I can see Rob, and he's going to have a sad, pouty face the rest of the
Sorry,
day.
Sorry, Rob.
If I don't mention Rob Howard's sessions on the APIs as well, because he does a damn good job of making you look like a complete fool in Fiddler, because he makes it look way too easy. So I will just give him a nod of the head. All the Express talks are available. There's a leaflet with all those timings there. There's some great ones there from people like Alex Moore and Brian Harper and Dan Wallin. So if you've ever done any Angular work, Dan's going to do a great talk on TypeScript there. One URL to remember, dev.office.com. That's the one place to go where you can go sign up for the program. There's over 80 hours of training. If you're not sick of my voice, myself and Richard Azariga at the back of the room do a weekly podcast that is available on Android, iPhone, and Windows Phone where you can go and listen to updates. Essentially, I run around campus and stick a microphone in engineers' face and ask curly questions. So it's another good way of keeping up. And with that, I'd just like to say thank you very much, and thanks, Rob. I know you're in the keynote this morning, but I appreciate you coming on stage. And
oh, this is great. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks very much, everyone.
We'll be downstairs for the rest of the week, so if you have other questions, please feel free to grab us and get engaged with dev.office.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.